All right. Good morning, guys. Good to see you today. Thanks for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. We have a great morning in store. If you have your Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we find ourselves in verse 18 and following this morning. And if you've been with us for a while, man, I guess it's been 8 or 9 months or so, maybe longer, that we've been going verse by verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. That's kind of our bread and butter here at the Grove. And today we find ourselves in chapter 6, and today we're actually wrapping up the book of Ephesians. And so so glad that you're here. If you are visiting us this morning, thank you for being here. I see several of you visiting us for the first time, and so thank you for coming, and thank you for joining us. I thought we might do something just a tad different. I thought we may take an extended review of where we've been during the last ministry year. And for those of you who are visiting or you're fairly new to the church, maybe this will help you as we get to our passage specifically in just a couple of minutes. And so why don't we do this? If you have your Bible, we're going to be in chapter 6, verse 18 and following. But if you want to page with me to chapter 1, I'll just kind of quickly review here, kind of cover the topography of where we've been. And if you recall, way back in the month of September, boy, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? I guess it was right around Labor Day, believe it or not. We began in chapter 1, verses 1 and following. And we spent 4 weeks looking at what it means to be transformed by His will. And if you remember in chapter 1 of Ephesians, it's one long, beautiful, elegant sentence in the original language. And Paul shows that our triune God both sovereignly initiated and accomplished reconciliation and redemption for the praise of His glory. That was just amazing. And chapter 1 of Ephesians is just fantastic. Then in October, for those of you who were here, we spent another 4 weeks looking at chapter 2 as we explored what it means to be transformed by His grace. And that too was just a great mini-series. And chapter 2, similar to chapter 1 in that it's quite a lengthy, longer, elegant sentence in the original language. And the overarching theme is that God lavishes grace. Our God is so generous, isn't He? And He just lavishes grace on Christians through His saving initiative. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but because of His grace, because of God's goodness, because of God's kindness to us, He has made us alone in Christ Jesus. And so that was terrific. I remember Pastor Robert closed out that series for us. And then in November, we were in chapter 3, spent a couple more weeks studying what it means to be transformed by His purpose. I had the privilege of kicking off that sermon series for us in chapter 3, and my goodness, if we had time to step back, do you guys remember the first few chapters of Ephesians? It's like highly doctrinal, quite technical, it's robust, it's doctrinal heavy, and then the last few chapters has been quite practical, and I trust both have been terrific for you, but that's kind of how Paul organizes his arguments. And then in the new year, beginning in January, we started our look at chapter 4, where we found out what it meant to be transformed by His calling. And again, this is the more practical side of Ephesians, and we got a lot of positive feedback on this miniseries. Pastor Scott kicked that off for us. And then in February and March, we spent another 4 weeks looking at what it means to be transformed by His love. And chapter 5 of Ephesians is just extraordinary. So helpful dealing with kind of the dynamics of family relationships in the home. Super relevant, super practical, super insightful. If you missed any of those messages, I would highly encourage you to go to our website and check those out. They're so helpful for how to live in the home in a God-honoring way. And now, during the last 6 weeks, including today, we've been in chapter 6 of Ephesians, examining what it means to be transformed by His power. Wow, what a great study this has been. And so today we're concluding, And what I want you to see is Paul is closing this letter with a warning. All right? And so this is one of those messages where you need to listen up, Christian. Spiritual war is real. And Paul's going to give us instructions on how to engage in this battle. All right? And as a reminder of where we've been most recently, let me set this up this way. And I know for some of you, yeah, I've been here every week during the last 5-6 weeks. I get it. I'm with you. But because of familiarity sometimes with the content of spiritual war, spiritual battle, kind of that content, kind of get familiar with it and you're kind of like, yeah, I kind of know all about it now. But just imagine not being super familiar with this. Imagine hearing it for the first time. Can you do that with me? Can we do that? Just imagine, all right? Imagine with me. Just imagine there's a supernatural war taking place right now, raging throughout the universe between God and his angels and Satan and the forces of darkness. Just imagine. Just imagine. And what if this enemy of God was also our enemy as followers of Jesus Christ? Just imagine. And imagine that he hated you and he hated me. Just imagine. And imagine if out of great disgust for God, this enemy sought to ravage us and damage us. Just imagine. Imagine if God in his grace opted not to hide us. Imagine if he opted not to hide us, but rather he gave us weapons to engage in this war. And what if God in his grace provided us a stockpile of supernatural weapons to be used in the spiritual war? Would you use them? Would you use them? Would you use them? Would you engage in this conflict? Well, check, check, reality check. Christian, this is not fiction. This is 100% our reality. This is our reality. That's what's going on today. Today we're going to be looking at one of the most underutilized, we could call it weapon, in the Christian's arsenal, all right? Thus far we've looked at the 6 pieces of spiritual armor that equip us to help us resist and overcome Satan's attacks. Paul started with, you guys may remember, girding your loins. Have you guys been doing that this week? You've been girding your loins with truth? With the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Now verse 18, that's what we're going to be looking at today, verse 18 and following. Here we're going to see that if we are going to be in this battle, that we are to pray. We are to pray. Why? Because prayer is the power in the weaponry. Prayer is the strength in the armor. Prayer is essential for you and for me. Let's pray together, and then we're going to get to work. This is going to be such a good morning. I'm glad you're here. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are a God that hears and answers prayer. That means so much to us. God, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in prayer. And you've invited us, and so we come boldly. Because you've invited us, because we can, because of your grace, because of your goodness, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And so we come to you right now, and we thank you for the righteousness of Christ imputed into our lives, that we may seek you and speak to you. You're a holy God, and you're awesome, and you're extraordinary, and you're listening to us right now. Lord, thank you. We know that faith comes by hearing the word of God, and so we pray that we would hear your word now. And so, God, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen? Amen. Simple big idea. The big idea is this. Spiritual effort is required in the spiritual battle. All right? Spiritual effort is required in the spiritual battle. And I trust this makes sense. I think it makes sense. If we hope to be strong in the Lord, if we hope to stand strong, if we hope to engage in this conflict, then spiritual effort is required. We need to be spiritual men. These are spiritual matters, spiritual men, spiritual women. It has nothing to do with the height of your vertical jump or if you have 6-pack abs. It doesn't matter how physically strong you are. We're talking about spiritual matters today. Spiritual effort is required in the spiritual battle. In other words, we need to be spiritual men and women of God if we hope to battle hard and stand strong. And so in Hosea there, verse 18, here's my first point today. My first point is shine brightly in your armor with prayer. Shine brightly in your armor with prayer. Notice here verse 18. Do you see what it says? Praying when? At all times. Praying at all times. Let's pause there. Think of it this way. In the spiritual battle, prayer is like a walkie-talkie. All right, that's what it is. That's how we communicate. It's being mindful to be in communication with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer comes up 296 times in the Bible. And right here, Paul instructs us to pray at all times. Jesus put it this way in Luke 18, verse 1. He said that men ought to always pray. Men ought to always pray and not faint. And obviously, Jesus knows the intensity of the battle. And so here's what this means for us. You ready? Here's what this means. For the Christian, for the follower of Jesus Christ this morning, how about this? The church is like a battlefield, not a cruise ship. You guys know what a cruise ship is, don't you? Yeah, many of us have had the privilege of going on a cruise. Many of us have probably been to Port Canaveral or perhaps one of the other ports here in Florida. If anybody knows what a cruise ship is, it's us, right? I mean, it's right here. Yeah, we know what a cruise ship is, Jason. What do you mean that the church is a battleship, though, not a cruise ship? What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. There's many, maybe you know some of them. There's many people who call themselves Christians, but they live like they're on vacation. Isn't that true? Not vacation from work, no. Got bills to pay. But vacation from the spiritual battle. I mean, I get it. I mean, we do live in Florida, right? We have palm trees all over the place. It's not easy. We got the parks here. People come just to go to our parks. We got the beach. It's close by. We have resort-style pools all over the place. I mean, I get it. It's easy to forget. It's easy to get tricked into thinking that we're on vacation. Do you guys ever do this when you're on vacation? Sometimes you don't go to church. You guys ever do that? Uh-oh. Busted. You got me. It's true. I mean, it happens, right? Sometimes you sleep in. Maybe you let the spiritual discipline slide. Does that ever happen to you on vacation? Spiritual discipline slide a little bit. It's okay. Be honest. We're in church. The Lord's watching. He knows. Yeah, it happens. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Maybe when you're on vacation, we don't read our Bibles as much. We don't pray as much. Not so much worship. Definitely not much working for Christ. I'm telling you, many people live their Christian lives that way, as if they're on vacation. But listen up. You guys listening? Listen up. You guys listening? We're not on vacation. The church is like it's a battleship. It's not a cruise ship, all right? You can wear your flowery shirt, all right? Wear the flowery shirt. I like the flowery shirt. Just don't forget, there's a spiritual battle taking place, all right? Ephesians 6 is a spiritual war and instructions on how to win it. In this battle, we are to pray when? All the time. Why? Because God works through prayer. Remember, prayer is the power in the weaponry, and it's the strength in our armor. And so, Christians, if we want to be effective in this battle, we need to pray. All right? We need to pray. We need to pray. Pray at all times, Paul says. Notice the next part. Praying at all times with all prayer and petition. This is just a simple way of saying that there should be variety in our prayers, right? There should be variety, which means pray in private, pray in public, pray verbal prayers, pray silent prayers, planned, spontaneous, requests, thanksgivings, confessions of sin, praise, kneeling, standing, early, late. The point is pray often in many different kinds of ways. How about you? How about you? If you've been with us here since the beginning and you got here on time, you know that we're a church that prays, right? We've prayed throughout the service already this morning. It's one of our convictions. It's something that we work really hard at. We try to be a church that prays. Is that your personal conviction as well? Are you praying all the time? How's your prayer life going? Are you useful in this spiritual battle? For you, is prayer a walkie-talkie so that you can communicate behind enemy lines? Some of you are doing great this morning, I trust. Others of you need a spark. Some of you need encouragement. Whatever you need, let's have a spiritual response to it, okay? And so I would be inviting you even right now to go ahead and ask the Lord. Lord, you know my need. Is it a spark? Is it encouragement? Ask the Lord to meet with you right now and encourage your heart, to strengthen your heart, to fire you up. Have a spiritual response to this. And as a reminder, our first point this morning is this: shine brightly in your armor with prayer. And here's how it works. We've already addressed the spiritual armor, right? But the thing with armor is, isn't this true? The thing with armor is it can also begin to look dull. Have you ever noticed that? It can start to look a little bit dull. Nothing worse than armor that's not shining bright. In order for armor to shine brightly, you have to polish it, right? Got to polish it. Got to shine it. And as I say that, it actually reminds me of one of my favorite commercials. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Have you guys seen it? It's a product. I actually use it myself. Maybe this will be helpful for you. And by the way, I don't get paid to say this, but when it comes to a brilliant shine, I recommend Shine Bright for all your polishing needs. Have you guys seen the commercial? We got it queued up. Why don't you check it out?
I used to be embarrassed to wake up in the morning and walk outside. My hair was so thin. My confidence was so low. But ever since using Shine Bright, my hair's never been thicker. My confidence has never shone brighter.
Introducing a revolutionary breakthrough in shampoo, Shine Bright.
I would deal with split ends. I was getting those white flakes on my shoulders. But when our team put together Shine Bright, my hair is spot on. Every day I wake up, I don't even have to do anything to it. It's clean and it's got a shine. It's just perfect.
Are you tired of your hair just being so-so? If so, pamper your hair follicles with Shine Bright and you will start winning at life just like me.
If you don't already use Shine Bright, you need to order it now. It is the product of the year. It will look as good as it does on me.
Imagine the feeling of the wind blowing through your hair, just like me. Try it, Shine Bright. You'll be glad you did.
I've never had a bad hair day since. I am shining bright every single day. You can too. Shine Bright.
All right. Special thanks to our male models here at the Grove. Today's service is brought to you, of course, by Shine Bright. All kidding aside, when it comes to the spiritual armor specifically, prayer, you getting it? Prayer is what makes the spiritual armor look brilliant. Prayer is what makes the six pieces of the armor shine, right? And that's why Paul is emphasizing it here over and over and over again in verse 18. Paul is talking about prayer over and over and over throughout this passage. Let's move on. Notice, let's continue. Verse 18 again, praying at all times with all prayer and petition. And now he adds, do you see it? In the, what does it say? In the Spirit. That's right. Yeah, but what does that mean though? What does it mean in the Spirit? It means, kind of literally, it means like under the influence of the Spirit. It means Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-enabled, Spirit-fueled, Spirit-energized. It focuses where we are in submission to the Lord as we line up with the will of God. And to this end, he says, you see it? Being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. He says with all perseverance, or persistence would be another way of saying it, for the saints. It's for the saints that we are to pray. And we do so with persistence. Jesus said it this way, do you remember? In Luke chapter 11, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it will be opened. You see, there's something about persistence that God desires. There's something about perseverance that God is interested in. And so keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. This is an essential part of the Christian life and is imperative in this great battle of which we are a part. And so let's get real here. I'm just going to ask it. All right, let's get real. I'm just going to ask it, when it comes to prayer, how persistent are we? How persistent are you? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how do you really gauge that? A great way to gauge it is to ask yourself, who do you seek first? Who do you seek first when there's a problem at home? Who do you seek first? Do you go to your parents? Do you go to your mom and dad? Do you go to your friends? Do you gripe on social media? Who do you seek first? Or do you seek the Lord? Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call to me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. That's Psalm 50. Who do you seek first when you have problems at work? When the boss is riding your tail? Who do you seek first? Who do you seek first when you have problems at work? Do you complain to your boss? Do you go to your coworkers? Who do you seek first? Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2, the Lord will hear our voices and our pleas for mercy, but he inclined his ear to us. It's our Lord. Who do you seek first when you have a health challenge? Who do you seek first when you have a health problem? Do you pray? Do you Google MD? Do you call your doctor, your primary care physician? Who do you seek first? Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer. There is power when we cry out to God and take our needs to him. There's power in that. He will hear. James chapter 5, verse 16, such a great verse. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Prayer accomplishes much, and so confession time. Confession time. Can we agree that perseverance is hard? Can we agree that persistence is challenging in this Christian life? Can we agree? Enduring is a difficult task. Can we agree on that? Persistence is tough work. And I get it, believe me. I don't stand here as if I'm perfect. I'm not. I'm in process, just like you. I've had seasons of my Christian life where I've done great. I've walked strong. And I've had other seasons of my Christian life where I've done terrible at this. This is something I'm constantly working on. And here's why. Because I know that God works through prayer. And so do you. We know it. We know it. And when it comes to the spiritual battle, prayer is an absolute essential. Prayer, once again, is the power in the weaponry. It's the strength in the armor. And so pray. Lord, help us to pray. We pray. Next verse, verse 19. Another point here, second point, share boldly in the mystery of the gospel. All right, here's what we do, Christian. Share boldly in the mystery of the gospel, as well as on my behalf, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. We've talked about this many times throughout the last several months. Paul penned this while he was incarcerated. This is Paul's prison burden for the church. She is very cute, is she not? When you're cute in life, you can kind of do whatever you want. That's great. And by the way, don't freak out, Mom and Dad. Kids are welcome here. We're a kids happy church. I have three kids. We love kids. It's no problem at all. She's very dear. This is Paul's prison burden for the church. We know that. And as Paul's getting ready to wrap up Ephesians, Paul is requesting here in verse 19, prayer for himself. That's what he's doing. Paul's like, pray for me. Would you do that? Paul's like, pray for me. Pray for me. I'll pray for you, Ephesians, but would you pray for me as well? Getting personal here in church this morning. You guys okay with that? Getting personal here in church. I got a question for you. Think about this. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. That's probably a good thing to not do. Don't raise your hand. But have you ever been to a local jail, perhaps, or a prison? I'm sure you never served hard time, but maybe to visit somebody. Or maybe you have served hard time. I have visited a prison many times to do ministry. All right, not in shackles, not in chains. When I was a seminarian, I couldn't preach to anybody. Nobody wanted to listen. But the convicts, they were willing to listen. And so I imagine my first 20, 25 sermons were preached in a prison in California to some tough hombres, like stone cold killers, bad guys, drug dealers, criminals, perverts, like tough dudes. And looking back, honestly, I kind of feel bad for them. Honestly, nobody should have to sit through young preachers preaching their first sermons. It ain't pretty. All right, feel bad for those guys. Not bad for their prison sentence, because if you do the crime, you got to pay the time, right? But having to listening to me and to other seminarians, that's not easy. But they'd always come back. Do you know why? Because we brought them donuts and cookies and coffee. It's interesting. The prison guards always showed up too. Everybody's happy. And it's interesting, as you get to know these guys, they have requests for you. Like, hey, I know you're coming back. Hey, would you mind bringing me in some? It's interesting, right? It's interesting that the things that an incarcerated person will ask for. What does Paul ask for? Did you catch it? He has some requests as well. I don't know. I'd be thinking about maybe a pickaxe or a shovel or some TNT. Is that what Paul requests? His request isn't that his ankles are raw and sore. Would you pray that my ankles raw and sore from the shackles, would you just pray that they'd get healed? It's not what he asks prayer for. That's not it. He doesn't pray that, man, the food is just, it's not even food, it's like slop. Would you pray that the food would get better? It's not what he prays for. He's requesting prayer that he would be bold. He doesn't want prosperity. He doesn't even pray to get out. He doesn't want earthly success. All he wanted was prayer that the words may be given, that he could open up his mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. How about that? Can you imagine? What a great prayer request. Boldness, I'm sure you know, is a very common New Testament theme. It comes up 42 times. And to be biblically bold, I think this will help some of us. To be biblically bold is to simply be open. It's like confident. It's free. It's not apologetic. It's not pushy either. Some of you, when you hear boldness, you think, okay, I just got to be pushy. I guess I got to be demanding. That's not biblical boldness. Biblical boldness is a Spirit-led conviction to act. That's what it is. There's like a Holy Spirit given like urgency that I just have to seize this opportunity. And so then you act. It's the Holy Spirit urging you to talk. It's not, have a seat. You're going to sit down and listen to this whether you like it or not. That's not what it is. Boldness is not in my flesh. It's not hard. It's not mean-faced. That's not what it is. It's not turn or burn, you heathens. That's not what it is. It simply means, can I tell you about Jesus Christ and what he means to me? And then it's doing it. And it's not being apologetic for it. It's just being confident and straight and true, free, And God uses this when we speak boldly. And for clarity, we are to speak boldly about the mystery of the gospel. Well, what's that? The mystery of the gospel. Here it is. It's just another way of saying the good news about Jesus Christ. People need to hear that. A lot of people. We need to hear it for ourselves. A lot of people need to hear this message. The mystery of the gospel begins with a God that loves. And he's done the impossible. Jesus was born, lived a life without sin, went to the cross, died to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. The Bible says while he was hanging on the cross, Jesus' final words were, do you know? It is done. It is finished. That's right. In other words, Jesus accomplished what he set out to do, which means that Jesus then is the one key that unlocks the door of faith. People need to hear about Jesus. Jesus is the map that leads to the narrow road, but very few find. Jesus is the cure for our terminal disease called sin. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you place your hope and trust in him, you'll be saved. Saved from your sins, saved from the punishment that those sins deserved, saved from God and his holy wrath. That's the mystery of the gospel. The only question is, have you responded to this gospel? Have you personalized it for yourself? Through faith, through repentance of sin, have you called upon the name of the Lord? If you have not, I encourage you to do that now, this morning, while there's time. Let's continue back to Paul. It says in verse 20 again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly, once again, boldly, as I ought to speak. Obviously, Paul's in a difficult situation. He's got chains on. In prison, facing a possible tribunal before Caesar. A second request now for boldness. He doesn't say, I'd give anything just for a hot shower. I'd give anything for steak and mashed potatoes. That's not it. His prayer request is for boldness, that when I proclaim it, I may speak as boldly as I ought to speak. This may be helpful. There's a great passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You don't have to turn there, but I'd love for you to see it. We have a slide here for you up on the screen. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, but I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide and effective door has opened to me, and there will be many adversaries. That's interesting, isn't it? So now when Paul's penning this letter to the Corinthian people, he's like, I'm going to stick around in Ephesus for a while. I'm going to stay here. And the reason that he lingered is because an opportunity was great there for ministry. There was an open door for Paul. Paul says, a wide door for effective work has been opened to me. And so for Paul, it's the same for us, I think. God opens up some doors. And for others, times, other seasons, he closes doors. But back to the idea that we need to be spiritual men and women in this spiritual battle. It means that we're prayerful. It means that we're seeking the Lord for wisdom, discernment, insight. We're praying, we're seeking. God lead us. Pages of scripture open. Reading. Remember, we speak to God in prayer. God speaks to us most clearly through his word. It's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual life. Praying, Lord, would you lead? Would you guide? Would you direct? Would you open some doors? Would you close some doors? God did that for Paul. If you remember in Acts 16, he started to go into Asia Minor and the Holy Spirit stopped him. And then he started to go into Bithynia and the Holy Spirit stopped him. The Lord closed doors, but here we find out that he also opened doors there in Ephesus. How about you? Are you aware of these sort of things? Are you mindful about these sort of things? Are you praying about these sort of things? Can you tell the difference? Do you have discernment about this? When you're witnessing to a friend or a family member, coworker, do you see opportunities that the Lord presents before you as we seek to share our faith with others? When we do so boldly. That means when you're sitting with your grandma, when you're riding in a car with your friend, and God gives you an opportunity to speak, you speak. Pray for boldness. Don't make apologies. And when you have the opportunity, get the word in. Get the word in. Get the word of God in to those opportunities that God gives. God will provide the opportunities. Get the word in. The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's true. It never returns void. So get the word in. Speak the message clearly, with conviction, with affection, with love, with truth, with grace, with clarity, not making apologies. And when God opens the door, make it clear and bold, which is how we ought to speak. Now notice here in verse 21, let's move on. This is my last point this morning. This is a very interesting conclusion. Here's my third point. Stand bonded and united in mission. Stand bonded and united in mission. Notice here verse 21. But that you also may know about all my affairs, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you. All right, Jason, what's going on here? This is the part of Ephesians that nobody bothers to read. It's just like, yep, I got the good stuff, the end, done. But it's here, and it's here for our good. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, right? We know that. But yet I have to admit, this week when I got to this part of the passage, I'm like, Tychicus? What am I going to do with this? So who's Tychicus? Well, I looked it up. He's a beloved brother of Paul. He's mentioned in several of Paul's epistles. And he served Paul faithfully and probably carried the original letter by hand to Ephesus. He was a convert from Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, who was with Paul during his first imprisonment in Rome, from where this epistle was written. Tychicus was sent on several missions by Paul. We find out about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and Titus chapter 3, verse 12. They refer to Tychicus. He was a good brother in the Lord, bonded and united in the work with Paul. And so once again, verse 22, Paul says, I have sent him, Tychicus, to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And so here's what I think this shows us. These verses break down the deep satisfaction in life that Paul has as he's accomplished ministry because of the faithfulness of his friends. He's in it together with them. They've stuck by him, and they've been helpful to him along the way. I think sometimes when we read about the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys and all the exciting adventures that he was on, we kind of hold him up high, which we should. We should esteem him as a brother, but we think he's like different than us. I think was he like maybe Superman, I think perhaps? Did he have a cape? I'm not sure. I mean, he's different than we are. Wow, what a guy. But the truth is, he was a man just like us, striving to fight the good fight, just like us. And what I want you to see is the Apostle Paul could not do it alone. Paul could not do it alone, and neither can we. And as great as the Apostle Paul was, he had to have help from his friends. And isn't that still true today? Isn't that true? I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We need each other, right? You guys believe that? You guys believe that? That's the beauty of the church. It's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of the body of Christ. It only works right when we work together. That's how it works. That's how ministry gets done. It gets done when we stand bonded and united in mission. Here's another great example. You guys read Exodus lately? You guys know Exodus? Yep. Okay, nope. Exodus 17. Great passage. Check this out at your convenience later. It says in Exodus 17, verse 8, maybe this will be familiar to you. There's this great battle against the people of Israel. There's this bad guy. His name is Amalek. All right? You're going to love this. Exodus 17 is a great example for us. It really is. Notice there as I read. So it happened. So there's this battle taking place. Israel, bad guys, Amalek. So it happened when Moses raised his hand up that Israel prevailed in the battle. Moses' hands up, Israel prevails. But when he lets his hands down, bad guys win. Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy. And then they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Hands up. Thus his hands were steady until sunset. This is taking place over the entire day. Verse 13. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Interesting. Israel won the battle. And they won because they worked together in harmony. They were bonded together in purpose and united in mission. And as great as Moses was, and Moses was great, Moses needed the support. Everyone was essential in the victory. And this is what we're seeing here, I believe, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. Paul needed Tychicus. Tychicus was a man that held Paul's arms high and extended his reach. And so they battled together for God's glory. I hope you see the point. The point is, brothers and sisters, we need each other. All right? You need me. I need you. That's how it works in this life and in the church. It's reciprocal. It's mutual. We need each other. And what concerns me about this, some of you today, you slip in, slip out. You slip in, slip out. And we're glad that you're here. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. You slip in, slip out, and we've never really had the privilege of getting to know you or you us. And in this battle, that is a very vulnerable place to be. And that's not how the Christian life is supposed to work. The bottom line is the work of the Lord cannot be accomplished in Greater Orlando through the Grove Bible Chapel unless we are bonded in purpose and united in mission. Everyone must be involved. Moses needed a team. Paul needed a team. You need a team, and so do I. And so let's wrap this up. Last two verses, notice this. Beautiful benediction. Peace be on the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus with incorruptible love. Beautiful conclusion. Paul wraps up Ephesians the same way that he began back in chapter 1, verse 2. He concludes the way he began. He concludes with peace and with faith and with grace, and love is how it ends. Why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? And that's a wrap. That's Ephesians. Spiritual effort is required in this spiritual battle. Honestly, spiritual effort is required in the spiritual life. After all the battle talk, I thought it would be good if I just reminded each of us this morning the good news. The good news is, ultimately, Satan's power over Christians is already broken, and the great war is won through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Amen! And because of what Jesus has done for us, he has forever conquered the power of sin and death, as well as the devil. That's the good news. The war is won. But the battle still continues, and it's continuing even now. And so as we leave here today, prepare to leave engaged in this effort. You have the weapons of war. We have the spiritual armor. It's all polished and shining bright. And so let's go with the Lord. Let's operate in the strength that he provides. And as we do, we pray that we could bring him much glory. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Your word is truth. We ask that you would sanctify us with your truth. I'm so grateful for the riches of this book. Ephesians is just magnificent. This has been a great study in the life of our church, God. We're so thankful for it. And may it not stop there. May this book find its way deep into our hearts and into our lives. God, we know that if we're going to be effective in this battle, then a spiritual effort is required on our part. And so I pray this week as we leave this place that we could be spiritual men and spiritual women filled with your Holy Spirit, focused on mission, battling in the strength and with the weapons and the armor that you provide. God, we love you and we give you thanks for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.